We can't lose. No, we can't lose.
Enjoy it while it lasts. Gambling gods, fickle bunch.
Oh, yeah.
So easily affected.
We have a shooter and a good one coming out for a new point. Get your bets down, ladies and gentlemen. He's a rolling point is nine. Place nine. Nine a winner. Got a hot hand. Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen.
They bet on absolutely anything. Don't make them prove it.
And then if I'm so lame that I don't have Saturday night plans, I sit on my couch on Saturday nights and do the same thing for Sunday promos.
You're tuned in to Gambling with Good Juju.
Welcome in, everybody, to Gambling with Good Juju. Hey, before we get started today, why don't we go ahead and get this out of the way? Don't forget to like, subscribe, follow at Good Juju Bets on the socials and at goodjujubets.net. If you like what we're doing and want to show some support, please make a visit to our merch store on the website.
Yeah, it's not too early to, you know, go ahead and get those Christmas lists started.
Exactly.
Yeah, plus, you know, I mean, it might take a couple weeks for you to get your order from us, so get it in early.
It's not from us. It's from a third-party provider.
I'm already thinking about Mother's Day.
There you go.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
Yeah.
Good. That's sharp.
Kurt's right? Like, I got to get it in early.
Get you a coupon code.
It's the it's the biggest event of the year for him. Mother's Day every year. Shout out St. Therese. Shout out.
Does she listen to the show?
Hell no.
That's wild. She should. Shout out Therese for wishing me a happy birthday on LinkedIn every year.
Does she do that? Yes, that's awesome.
Absolutely.
That is awesome. All right, boys. We've made it to the grind. College football big game action is back. Bye-bye, crappy Saturday slates. So we're going to talk through our squad ride, what we got coming up this week, and take a look at the games on the board for the big weekend. Mm. The NFL realities are also starting to set in. I think for some of us more than others.
I mean, you're talking about Sunday scaries, bud.
What are Sunday scaries?
Sunday scaries, that's the thing they do on TikTok where you talk about how much you hate going to work on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
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 I just hate watching the Bears.
Right.
Which also happens to happen on Sunday.
So the realities have set in a bunch of different ways. We're going to talk through the week that was and get into a little bit of what we're looking at for the upcoming week. And then most importantly, and the thing we're going to probably spend the most time is we've finally gotten into solidifying our fall routine for gambling a little bit. So me, RJ, and Kurt, we all sat down and we kind of walked through what does our weekly schedule look like. And we're going to share a little bit about the life and the week of a degenerate. We've actually got some materials that we'll put out there. If anyone wants to play along with us at home moving forward, you'll see the kinds of content we consume when we're making the decisions we're making and how we do our gambling on a week-to-week basis here in the fall.
Yeah, and which days we take our lunch break and go to the casino.
There is that. I didn't add that to the consensus tab, but that was on your tab. I don't think that everyone's going to have the time. Yeah, does everyone have the time on Friday afternoons to go to the Paradise in East Peoria, Illinois and gamble?
Spoiler alert, it's Friday. You get hot dogs and coffee and you lose money. Really primes you for the weekend.
Really primes you for that Bears game.
Before we get into all that, Kurt, you're still betting baseball.
Yep.
That was a shocker. That was something I found out today, actually. I know you've been posting them on Twitter, but I haven't been paying any attention. I'm sorry. I keep cutting you off. Go ahead.
No, I actually haven't been posting to Twitter because I'm just so crazy wrapped up in football right now. So I just haven't made any cards. I've still been betting. Just haven't posted anything. Couple plays here and there.
Player props.
Yeah, but I'm still betting baseball every day.
So. What's interesting right now in baseball? Because I have been tuned out for 2 weeks.
I mean, the number one story is basically what country Shohei Ohtani's in, right?
Yeah. Also,
what country he's in?
Yeah.
Who cares what country he's in?
Well, because he's not getting traded, right?
Yeah.
It was exciting when they found him in Japan.
He's kind of like holding the A's or the Angels hostage, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Isn't he a free agent? Isn't it all over?
As soon as the season's over, yeah.
Yeah.
He cleared out his locker.
Yeah, he's done. Yeah, he's a free agent that has to have surgery and plays batting and pitching, and so I'm sure it's all going to work out well to the tune of $500 million.
Yeah.
Every team is going to want him.
Yeah.
And for good reason. And any team that gets him is going to be so handicapped by that contract.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to do anything
with. Yeah, it is.
Anyway.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
So the question for you, though, Kurt, right now, I know you're doing your thing with the baseball props and everything. Are you paying attention to the race coming down the stretch as well?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So we were. I was. Right. My family was. And then the Cubs lost 6-7 to the Diamondbacks at the same time that NFL kicked off. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm paying attention to NFL right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Giants. God, the Giants, I think, got swept by Colorado.
Oh my gosh.
And they're only two games out of the wild card.
Yeah.
But whatever. I mean, it's all about the Braves, Dodgers, you know, in the National League. I mean, they're just going to beat the crap out of everybody. And Acuna's having one of the best seasons of any player ever in the history of baseball. And it's been mind-blowing to watch. So,
yeah.
MVP for show.
Any chance we catch that Strider ticket, or is that done?
Strider's done.
Yeah, I think it's done. He gave up six runs in one outing, and I stopped checking after he did that.
That's that. Okay.
And Blake Snell keeps
rolling.
I'm going to give Kurt a shout-out here, because when we were on this very podcast talking about MLB baseball bets before the season, and he was talking MLB bets, he made a bet on Fernando Tatis at plus 1,600. And I'm like, well, that was dumb. You could have gotten that at any price. And I was right.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. But that's not the key point, because he said to me, he said, look, it's going to be Acuna, and if it's not Acuna, it's going to be a talent like this guy, so I'm going to take a play on this, because it's not going to be any of these other scrubs catching Acuna. You nailed it. You absolutely nailed the Acuna thing at the start of the season.
Plus 1,400
MVP. Plus 1,400 MVP.
That's neat.
You're going to be cashing that ticket.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
So he's going to win?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, the last time I looked, which was a while ago.
Like minus 500 or
something. Yeah, the market.
That's awesome.
The market was Acuna, like minus 500, I think, and then it was just the field.
Wow.
Like there was no other individual player being bet against him.
He's going for an 80 stolen base, 40 home run season, betting like 340. It's unbelievable. It's one of the best seasons ever by any player.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Well, congrats.
Oh, thanks.
Do you like all these wild card teams?
No.
You wish the wild card went back to just the one?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I like all the extra teams in the chase. I mean, why he doesn't like it. You don't like it because you think the cream of the crop rises over 162 games.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah, totally.
I agree that you play such a darn long season, it really minimizes it to then let so many teams in. That said, September's better.
It makes the last 30 days a lot more exciting.
Yeah. So, that's the only part of this that I've really been following is, well, it also helps that the Cubs are in the wild card race.
Yeah.
But the reality of this situation is I'm following the wild card races. Most of the divisions are locked up. We still got a couple battles, right?
Yeah.
AL West is still going. AL East, I haven't paid attention the last few days. Are we still, we're still battling there.
Yeah,
Orioles, Rays.
Yep, sure.
So there's still a couple division races going, but I think the wild card picture is kind of interesting.
Yeah, what's the harm of making a couple teams that didn't win their division play for a day or whatever they do?
Because it's the game of baseball. And those wild card teams have almost as good a chance of winning the World Series because of it. Because the game of baseball is so weird, and you just need a team to get hot at the right time.
But isn't that awesome?
Yeah, but it just minimizes the value of, why do we play 162 games then in a baseball season?
Well, that is a big question. But yes, I understand the point.
Yeah.
So that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I wasn't sure because I feel like I haven't been paying nearly as much attention baseball.
Well, I mean, the good
our sponsor,
our space. that's why they had to advertise on the show. They were like, "You guys aren't giving us enough publicity these days."
Here's some cash.
I mean, worst case, we're gonna get primetime baseball when the playoffs start with extra teams and more wagers, right? More games to bet on.
Are you gonna dip into any World Series winners or anything like that at the outset of the playoffs? Or are you done on all futures now?
I'm done.
You're done. What about you? Yep. You gonna do anything for MLB playoffs?
No way.
No way.
I mean, really, I should put a free bet on a couple wild card teams, but I basically just went heavy on the favorites this year. I did snag Baltimore at like plus 4,500. That was one of my early season bets. But other than that, it's Astros, Braves, Dodgers.
Do you care between any of them? Do you have a strongest position on any particular team?
I mean, I'd love to see Baltimore. Yeah. Right? Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be fun, right?
The Orioles,
right? But what about for gambling purposes? Do you have any particular preferences?
Braves or Orioles. That's probably who I would make the most money off of.
Braves or Orioles. Okay.
I would love to. We have a Rays bet, though, right? I talked you into that Rays bet for Caesars, that $50.
I hope so.
Yeah. We got it at like $750, plus $750. So that'll be good, too.
I'll tell you that if the Cubs are in the playoffs, obviously that's the only thing I'm going to care about. But the Orioles would be a fun team to back.
Absolutely.
They got a lot of young talent. They've been a struggling franchise. They deserve this one.
They sure do.
All right, let's move on. Wanted to get a little bit of baseball in there, but we got a big thing, big show to get to here. So let's talk about college football. This week's going to be fun, boys. We got a lot of action on the line. Let's start here. First, let's talk about that squad ride hit. Thank you, Brad Powers, for giving us Syracuse -2.5. It wasn't really sweaty. It was a good game. It kind of went back and forth, but I felt comfortable we were on the right side.
Yeah, they cruised.
28-14. I'm like, bang.
I didn't watch any of it, but they cruised.
Yeah. I mean, Purdue had the ball down 8, and okay. I was like, no. Don't do this to us.
Did you send a text in the thread.
I was messaging you guys about that. I was like, don't do this to us. And then Purdue stinks, so they got rid of the ball, and we won.
Yeah, we're now 500 on the squad, right?
500. Feeling good. None of our wins have been lucky, and we've taken a bad beat. So I like our capper's reads overall. None of the ones even that we lost are my, like, man, you're a moron for making that bad.
So what you're telling me is we're due for, like, you know, we're down 10 going into the fourth quarter and we pull out a dub, right? You're telling me we got one of those in our back pocket coming up?
We're due. We're due for the comeback on UCLA.
Yeah.
San Diego State.
No kidding.
So.
Oh, my God.
I just like that we're picking out plays and cappers that even if they don't hit, we're right there on those. So,
it feels good.
With the success that came from Brad Powers, we certainly wanted to return to a capper for this week that is well-known and well-respected. So for this week's squad ride, we're going to go with Dave Koken, our man at Dave Koken, DaveCokin on Twitter. Dave's going with Louisville -14, and we were actually able to grab -13.5 over there on FanDuel. How are we feeling about that, boys?
-118.
Love it.
I love it. We got the hook on that. So we're sitting pretty. We just need to win by a couple touchdowns. And let me tell you, Boston College is terrible.
Yeah. So the only thing I was concerned about is, like, when I saw who Louisville was playing, because you guys just told me, hey, Louisville's -13.5 over on FanDuel, and I go to look at it, and it's Boston College. I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't Boston College almost beat Florida State in Florida State?
Weird game. That was at Boston College.
Oh, it was?
It was at Boston College. Oh, okay. And it was a weird game.
It was raining, right?
Florida State was covering the line in the first half of 20-whatever points.
Yeah.
And then Boston College came back to make it a game.
A bunch of weird stuff happened?
I mean, I don't know. College football, yeah. It's weird that you're covering a 20-some point spread in the first half, and then the game ends, and it's a close game. So some weird stuff had to have happened.
Okay. All right, we'll go Louisville.
Right?
Yeah. So we're riding Louisville -14. You can get 13.5 with Dave Koken.
Let's go 3-2, boys.
Let's do it. All right, let's talk a little bit about this Saturday of football because we finally have a Saturday worth paying attention to. We spent a lot. Last week when we talked about it, I was like, I don't even want to talk college football. This week stinks. But now this week, we've got it back. So I kind of wanted to go through and share with the audience what my TVs are going to be tuned into as we go through Saturday. So Saturday, you've got your four windows, basically, right? You've got your morning, you've got your afternoon, you've got your evening, and then you've got your late night for the D-gens. Okay. So for that morning slate, we're going to start off 11 a.m. My TV1 is going to be focused on Florida State Clemson. Clemson is a 2.5-point dog at home on ABC. That's going to be an awesome game. And then on my TV2, I went a little bit, probably some folks, not quite as much the marquee matchup, but I want to see that SMU-TCU game, -6.5 for TCU on FS1. TCU and SMU is a historic rivalry. They were both part of the Southwest Conference. They both got left behind when it was tore apart, and now they both find themselves moving into major conferences, or in TCU's case, already in one for some time, and it'll be interesting to see this old clash of Texas Christian schools.
TCU's quarterback.
Yeah.
He slings the ball, right? You know who he is? I don't know. I took him as a player prop, and the show that I watched, that Action Network Tailgate, were like, this guy's just a gunslinger. And his prop was 250, and he ended up throwing for like 330 yards or something crazy like that. But when I read that there, that struck me as an exciting game because I know MSU puts on the points, and TCU puts on the points.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to that one. If you're not into that, Auburn, Texas A&M. That's about a touchdown spread on ESPN. That's going to be a popular game at that time slot. There's several others, but those are the games I'm going to be focused on most on the early slate. Then in the afternoon, we've got... Okay, so I'm not going to have this on one of my main TVs. This is going to be my alternate game. Colorado and Oregon. Everyone keeps talking about Colorado. We can't get enough of it. I'm starting. Last week we talked about it, and I said I'm ready to get on the Coach Prime. Then I followed the whole Colorado State game, the amount of tension it got. The game itself was fine. And ultimately, I decided to myself, okay, I don't care about Colorado, Oregon with a 21-point spread.
Until Colorado wins.
Right. It's true. That's why it's going to be on the alternate TV.
Yeah.
If it ends up coming back and it's a good game, well, then sorry, Ole Miss, Alabama, or UCLA, Utah, you get the boot.
Yeah. But if they get slapped in the face, it's over, right?
Yeah. But my TV one's going to be focused on Ole Miss and Alabama game. That's a touchdown spread on CBS. I want to see what's going on with Alabama. And I love Lane Kiffin versus Nick Saban. Lane Kiffin is my personal favorite coach in college football who's not associated with one of my teams. So anytime I get a little Lane train action, I love to dive in on that.
Is the Utah quarterback back?
Cam Rising?
Yeah, is he back?
Good question.
Because I would love to see Chip Kelly lose this week.
So that's going to be a good game. That's a 4-point spread on Fox, middle of the afternoon, UCLA and Utah. I'm tempted. That might be my primary game I'm watching. That's going to be the closest of the big games on that afternoon slate. Nothing compared to, in my opinion, the evening slate in the game of the week, which is Ohio State and Notre Dame, with Notre Dame as a 3-point dog. That game's going to be airing on NBC in the evening, and that's going to be the one I'm probably most excited to watch. Saturday.
These live lines, that's back to 3?
It was as of this morning when I put this agenda to
Might together. Have to get a taste of Ohio State.
I already bet them. I bet them this morning. I got them 110 minus 3 this morning. So
I might have to get a taste.
Okay. But the one that you guys probably aren't as familiar with and the one that I'm most intrigued about, we're going to continue to go back to my college realignment talk. Oregon State playing Washington State. Washington State's a 3-point dog at home on Fox Sports. That game's awesome.
Is that going to be a barn burner?
That game's going to be awesome. Those are two good teams. Yes. There'll be a high scoring. Right? Those are two potent offenses. Those are two good teams. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, that sounds like a good game to watch.
Those are also the two left behind programs in the Pac-12, future conference rivals of New Mexico. Sorry, Beavers fans. Sorry, Cougs. But you're going to be rooting along with my Lobos here soon.
All right.
And then I had to include this at the end. For those of you who are interested, D-Gen move of the day is going to be New Mexico State, Hawaii. 11 p.m. Central. You can get this game only on the Team One Sports app.
Yeah, future sponsor of the show.
Seriously?
Yeah, you can get the team. So I've watched a number of Hawaii games on the Team One Sports app. And what I end up having to do is streaming it on my phone and then mirroring my screen onto my TV in order to watch the game, because they don't actually have that. It says Team One Sports app. So I do need to check for this season.
Yeah.
But in prior seasons, I had to do it on my phone. Because I couldn't.
Usually they put Hawaii either on TV, one of the other ESPN channels, or on CBS Sports app.
Well, they have their own network. So when they have broadcasting rights, that goes through this.
Okay.
So they have the broadcasting rights to this.
That's and why. You have a login for this thing?
It's free.
It's free. Oh, perfect.
It's free. You can watch it and stream it to your
TV. They have their own broadcasting rights and they give the game away for free.
And look, if you're not into the D-Gen move, there's a couple late night Pac-12 games featuring big spreads with USC, Arizona State, or Cal Washington. You could get into those if you want, but...
What's Cal Washington?
20-something points.
Really?
I didn't even write those down.
They were long enough. I got to say, Saturday night, a big plan's in the household. Daughter's having a little sleepover for her birthday, so I'll probably leave it up to them which game we watch, but...
That's nice of you.
Right. Yeah, you know, I'm, you know.
You're going to let them sleep out in the garage?
It is her birthday, after all.
Yeah. Get some sleeping bags.
Now that I know I can watch this Hawaii game on my app, and yeah, maybe that's, like, I don't know, puts it over the edge. Sorry, Hazel.
You should put their colors out there, the teams, and have them.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
which one do you want Daddy to bet on? Pick a color. Pick a color. So red or green?
So I left a bunch off, too. There's a lot of good games that aren't included here. But my takeaway is we've got bangers going off all day on Saturday for college football.
Huh.
I've already got double-digit wagers in. We're recording this on Tuesday night. This is probably going to be my biggest card
big
of the
one.
Year.
Yeah.
Just, it's been a ton of plays coming in. Everyone's on so much stuff.
So you think we should expect a lot of promos?
That's what I was just thinking. Like, oh, maybe I'll get a lot of promos here.
I've been very happy with promos.
So have I.
I'm not complaining about what we've been getting.
But considering all the marquee matchups, I'm thinking it's going to be a heavy week for the books for us as far as promos and boosts are concerned.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Let's talk NFL real quick before we get into our final topic of the day. NFL week two. My take, much improved. Why? Pick to click got going. Board went 4-2. Survivor, no sweated. We already knew the Bears stunk, so we didn't have to worry about that.
No sweat on that one.
Niners won again with a little controversy. And DK had to back down with when confronted in the red zone.
Jeez.
I was waiting for that all night.
Right, you wrote that this morning.
Yeah.
I'm so funny. All right, let's start off by talking about our pick-to-click board. I thought this week's pick-to-click board was fascinating.
Oh?
I went boring. It hit.
Yeah.
RJ, you went 2-0. And Kurt, you fell to 0-2, not because you didn't have a good read, but because you got too greedy.
Right. It was like pulled out a...
He hit his over. Mike Williams hit his over.
Yeah.
But he didn't hit his alt 100 yards receiving over.
Yeah. It seemed a little early. It seemed a little early to like pull the trigger on that.
You think so?
In the gamesmanship.
Did you feel like you were pulling that to try to make a move in the league? Or did you do that strictly because this is the best play I think I can find?
Oh, it was definitely not the best play I could find.
Were you going for some gamesmanship? Were you trying to get in our heads a little by getting a big win early and getting out in front of us?
Yeah, I was trying to take a lead, especially after my pick last week was a total egg. I mean, right? My guy tears his ACL. Hurt. Yeah, but...
He was on track.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. So, yeah, I was trying to hop out to a lead, and I loved Mike Williams all week. I bet his regular line over, which was like, I think they had it like 58 receiving yards. He ends up getting 83. The alt line for 100 was plus 425. So I didn't think that was crazy out of reach considering Tennessee's pass defense is one of the worst in the leagues.
Yeah.
I knew Herbert was going to sling it for 300. It's Allen and Williams. Let's go.
Yeah.
Just fell 17 yards short.
Were you also betting Allen
this weekend? I bet Allen too.
You were on
both
of them?
Yeah, both of them.
I think I sprinkled on Herbert to have the most passing yards. He didn't get it. It was C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud. How about that?
Unbelievable, right? But it does introduce a gamesmanship aspect to this because you like came in and banged it out early. Like, here it is. Here's my plus 400 play, guys.
I think I made it on Friday.
And I almost like fell into the trap like, ooh, do I have to go with something heavy here? Just stay in front?
I thought about it too. And then I said, no, if Kurt's going that way, I'm going safe. Which is one of the reasons I went so boring. I was like, I just want to get on the board here.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that my pick was guaranteed to win because it was a boring pick. But I looked at Damian Pierce's rushing attempts and I was like, I'm going to be on this number. It may not hit, but it's going to be right there if it doesn't. This dude's not getting single-digit carries in this game.
Yeah.
So I liked it even though it was boring, and fortunately it came through. He hit 14, and I had 13 and a half. So.
And Juice, you went with
DJ Moore.
DJ Moore.
So let me ask you, was that your, is my week to take a flyer homer pick, or was that the best play you were literally thinking about?
Oh, it absolutely wasn't the best play. It was... heavily geared towards the homer pick. But, like, quite frankly, like, you'd have to be an absolute dope to be like, no way DJ Moore is less involved this week.
Yeah. Right. It was a great play.
Yeah.
I should have bet.
Plus 100?
Yeah. Plus 100. I should have bet more money on that. That was a great play.
It was a slam
play.
Dunk. And then he hit it in the first half, right?
Yeah. Right. I mean, you knew after last week, all the scrutiny that the Bears coaching staff faced, not getting DJ Moore the ball. Like,
right.
You just traded all this capital
right.
for him.
Right.
He's making a lot of money. Like, you're not going to give him two catches.
Let's be real. Worst case scenario, like, DJ Moore is catching 4 out of 5 screen passes you throw to him.
Yeah.
Right. That was ultimately the decision. Like, I should probably bet my mortgage payment on this.
I'm going to cut us off before we go back down the Bears path for the third week in a row. So on Sunday, Juice, you had me take a picture of the pick to click board.
Oh yeah.
And I've got that now blank with all our names on it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to update that as a graphic and put in our records. Now through 2 weeks, RJ, you're at 2-0.
2-0.
I'm at 1-1, and Kurt, you're at 0-2. Lisa, Mama Juicy, she's sitting at 1-1 with me.
1-1.
And then the boys over at P-Town Sports P-Town Radio.
Sports Radio, 101.1.
Peoria Sports Radio, 101.1. They're each 1-1 as well, right? So Lisa, both of them are 1-1, but they also played some plus money stuff as well. So it all has to be played out. I'll provide an update on the pick-to-click board, and we'll track that ongoing as we go throughout the year.
Yeah, neat idea.
Cool. Okay.
Fun game, too.
So how about FanDuel getting hammered on that field goal promo? Did any of us actually play it?
That's never a thing I would go find.
You know, I did.
Yeah. You didn't play it, though.
I looked at it for literally 5 to 10 minutes. I'm like, I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like, because I go through all those specials every week.
Do you really?
Yes. Jeez Louise, I go through all those every morning. Every Sunday morning, I go through all those FanDuel specials, and I see it there, and it's like every team on the Sunday morning and afternoon games to make a field goal plus 20,000. And I'm like,
plus 20,000. So, like, what, 200-1? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Every team or every game?
Every team.
Every team.
And it hit?
Yes. Just to make one field goal.
Plus 20,000.
Yes. And I was looking at it and I'm like, man, you know, I always, I talk myself out of it.
Right. You're like, don't be a moron.
Right. Because I play them. Right. Like, even Dan Tomlin and I, we've like thrown a couple of DMs back and forth about playing some of the crazy stuff on there. Like, each team to make a field goal and score a touchdown in each half plus 8,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
Sometimes I play those, and I was looking at this and I'm like, plus 20,000. That seems like an absurd price for that bet. Price.
Did you go do the math? Like, at any point did you go, let me go pull up a Sunday and see what percentage of teams actually kicked a field goal?
There's no way anybody did that, right? Sample.
I did not.
But somebody tweeted out that DraftKings had it 30-1.
30-1?
Yeah, instead of 200-1.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's maybe what sparked a little interest.
Yeah, I can see that.
They got taken for $20
million. They got taken for $20 million, And one of the Twitter users, famous
which is
Twitter
funny, because who knows what that means? How many of those other specials, what did they make on all those other specials on that board?
Yeah.
So the 20 million number is just a number that's meant to be put out there. But when you talk about the amount of money that changes hands on these things, I'm sure that that is not anything they even think about.
Think of how much time and effort they put into getting attention on social media when somebody hits one of these silly parlays. They just got the New York Times to be like, see how free this money is, guys?
Yeah. That was fantastic for them.
Well done.
So now they're going to come up with a bunch of terrible lines right now that this one hit.
Or not.
They're going to keep doing what they're doing. 200 more people are going to bet them because they just got a bunch of attention for
it. Yeah. Right.
But they don't have to make any changes.
Give that guy a raise.
Unbelievable.
Right.
Opportunity knocks, boys. Opportunity knocks.
Right.
And then, RJ, you told me something about Pat McAfee. He's investigating a blocked field goal. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. This was... Okay. Did you guys see the blocked
field goal? Did you call him
McAfee? Yeah, that was kind of funny.
McAfee.
Yeah, right. Future friend of the show.
What did I say?
McAfee.
McAfee.
I said McAfee.
Hey, McAfee.
I
think
so. Hey, McAfee.
All right. McAfee. So... this is a really fascinating story. I don't know if you guys saw like the crazy blocked field goal attempt the Patriots had on the Dolphins. Like the guy is like lined up way out, like he's covering for a punt.
That was awesome.
Was awesome, right?
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's crazy. That's never happened before, right? So he breaks the whole play down, right? Because he's a special teams nerd.
Right.
And it's like, hey, look at this. That guy's not even looking at the center. Like, and he breaks down how the center could have a tell for when he's going to snap the ball, right? He's like, either he's going to look down or look up, and that's when he snaps the ball. But this guy's not even looking at him. He's looking at the holder, right? And he goes, well, that's weird. I've never seen anybody do that before. So then they go, and he's like, oh, look at that. It's like, you can watch it really slow, but the holder allegedly takes a deep breath as they snap the ball. So that was his tell.
Wow.
So he takes that deep breath. And that guy takes off sprinting because he knew that's when they were going to snap the ball.
Wow.
And it's like, well, that's weird. How has nobody ever figured that out before, right? He spent the last 5 years in New England.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow. So Belichick's like, yeah, I'm just waiting for this guy to go on another team so I can just unleash the fury on his first field goal attempt against us. So watch the video. Watch the video when it breaks down. I'll put it on the Twitter and all that stuff. It's so hilarious to watch. And then you just think about how big of a weirdo that guy is to win football games. And like, there you go. That's what it takes.
That's incredible.
Unbelievable.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, it's a good breakdown.
Those are the sorts of things I always think about with baseball as well.
Sure.
Like, how are you not tipping everything at this point with all the staring in at micro movements and the right. ability of every single little thing you do on a pitcher's mound to be analyzed with sensors and everything? Right. I would imagine that the capabilities of figuring out what pitchers are going to do would be a worthwhile investment for baseball teams.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, so that was fun. It was a fun play. It was a fun play to see. It was a fun play to then get broken down in that way.
So can you link the
I'll post it.
McAfee video.
McAfee.
That beat the guy up too much.
All right.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'll get you back.
Right.
That brings us to our weekly shade report presented by DraftKings this week. Are we going to have one of these every week?
Every time you mentioned a brand name.
No, I know, future sponsor of the show, but are we going to have a weekly shade report every single week now?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can't believe DraftKings tried to claim that was a red zone trip.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And I'm the one who's normally sitting here going, well, guys, I'm sure it was in their rules. They don't want to get in trouble with the regulators.
Right. Yeah. No house rules on a made-up market.
But that's they literally could have just been like, no, we didn't send you to the first red zone trip market that's the normal market. This was just a random thing we decided to do.
Yeah.
And we decided to do it after we saw all the money came in on the plus EV side of things.
So do you want to break down the bet for the listeners and what happened?
So here's what happened. We got a promo on DraftKings where you bet on the first team to enter the red zone and you could use it on either Monday night game.
Which is just a stupid thing to begin with.
Right. So silly.
Like, they're literally trying to make stuff up now.
But the way we gamble, we lean on the mathematicians on Twitter who lay out for us which play is most profitable.
Which is where all professional mathematicians hang out.
Yeah. So the play on Twitter was Cleveland Browns, first team to enter the red zone. And guess what happened? The Browns were the first team to enter the red zone, and we all lost. And we were going, why did we lose?
Not only that, the other team didn't enter the red zone once. The other team
never entered the red zone, and we lost. But because the Steelers intercepted a ball at the 25-yard line of the Cleveland Browns and ran it back in, they decided to rule that running the ball from the 20 to the end zone during that play counted as a trip to the red zone.
And that's why this is so asinine.
That has never been recorded as a trip to the red zone in the history of sports gambling before.
Right.
You have to snap the ball
in
the red zone for it to be a trip to the red zone.
Bingo. Yep.
So what they're probably trying to claim is that possession changed outside the 20. He runs into the red zone, essentially.
Yeah.
Claiming that that's a red zone trip.
Right. And what person would decide it that way? Like somebody that has watched four or five football games in their life?
Right. How about somebody who wants to take your money?
Oh, well, that is the tinfoil hat city. I mean, they did just give everyone their money back.
I don't believe they were doing anything to be nefarious.
Absolutely not.
They were just morons.
And then they doubled down. And they told everybody, nope, we did it right.
Because they didn't know. Because they've been backtracking and paying out on everything left and right lately. Because people complain and they back down.
Unbelievable.
And this time they didn't back down until everyone was like, holy smokes, I'm going to open up a ticket with the gambling commission over this.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, we get it. It's not. So here's my question to you.
Yeah.
They did correct this. DraftKings came
out.
And they kept all the people who they paid out for the Steelers as winners, and they credited for the Browns. Do you know, did we get our bet credited back to us, or did we get our bet credited back plus the winnings?
I have no idea.
Anyone?
Do you know?
You got your...
No.
I'm going to guess from what I read on Twitter that you get your initial wager back as a free bet.
Ain't no way.
No, it was a cash credit.
Cash credit.
You definitely got a cash credit.
You got a cash credit?
No, I'm telling you.
That's what they said.
DraftKings released cash credit.
Yeah.
Wow.
I checked and I'm like, wow, this is mayhem in here.
Yeah, I can figure it out.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Point is, they had to back down. This keeps happening every week over something dumb.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just
like,
nonsense.
Hey, raise your IQ if you're going to make up markets. This isn't cricket like some NFL guy made up a bet on.
Right.
Like, this is unbelievable. And who are they paying to grade these things? Interns?
I don't know.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Rant over. Thank you. I agree. Thank you, DraftKings, for fixing it.
The one thing that I'll say on this, some people are trying to compare this to Aaron Rodgers or Nick Chubb.
Right. Out of the question.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
No.
Stop bringing that up. Stop complaining. When you bet a promo and someone gets injured, you lost the bet. Get over it.
Yeah. Somebody, okay, just real quick on that. Somebody dropped the other day. It's like, oh, I know how to fix this. And they're going to start pricing touchdown score odds, but they have to finish the game.
Oh.
So it's like, right?
No. If I were them, I'd just be like, okay, is that what you guys want to do? We're going to cancel all unders then. We're going to cancel all bets where someone gets injured. Is that what you guys want?
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
One wants that.
Nobody wants that. Nobody wants this. Stop spending your marketing dollars on this.
It's one of my big lessons.
Give me bigger promos. Don't give me refunds.
Parents, Breezy here with a little bit of advice for all of you. Let your kids take L's. Every kid needs an L every once in a while in order to grow and mature.
So you don't wind up complaining to sports books on Twitter.
That you don't deserve that L because someone got injured.
Yeah.
It's so exhausting.
The more you know. Okay, last topic before we get into our final thing of the week. Rams kicked a field goal down 10 as the clock expired to cover.
This is fascinating to me.
Should the NFL look into this?
No, why would they do that?
The integrity of the sport when it comes
to gambling. Okay, so that's interesting, right? So where is the line on the integrity? That's exactly the interesting part.
I have no problem with this.
I don't either. First of all, did anybody bet on the Niners -7?
Kurt had it at 6.5.
6.5. I bet you're clear.
I wasn't in it.
Nope, me either. So we have no skin in the game.
Right.
So what is the right answer?
I think the right answer is probably, if you're the NFL, nothing to see.
What's the right answer for the coach?
For the coach, what to do there?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Hand off. Like, don't get anyone injured. You're down 10. It's the last play of the game. The game's over.
Don't try to score points.
I don't have a problem with if that's what they want to do. Like, that's probably as safe as a play as running it up the middle.
Right. Like, why not kick it?
I agree with that, for the record.
And for the record.
Why not kick it to cover the spread? Like,
why not kick it to cover the spread?
Middle finger to Niners fans.
Yeah.
I agree.
Why not do that?
I agree.
All these coaches get measured as their record and their record against the spread. So why not try to cover the spread?
But that's coming from our perspective. You've also got the much bigger group of NFL fans who aren't gamblers, who are going to see the headline, oh, was this a fixed game? Was this gambling? What is he doing?
Was it fixed?
Jeez. And they're going to freak out.
Yeah. So I don't know. He's supposed to like go for a touchdown with time expiring? What's the point of that?
So just to let everyone know, the Rams completed a pass in field goal range with time basically running out.
Three seconds.
3 seconds left.
Yeah.
And they're down 10. There's no way for them to kick a field goal and get the ball back. There's no way for them to score a touchdown and get the ball back. The game is essentially over. The 49ers were 7.5-point favorites. They're up 10, and the Rams head coach Sean McVay, with 3 seconds left, decides to kick a field goal, which would make all 49ers tickets at -7.5 losers if he makes the field goal.
Yeah.
And all the Rams +7.5 tickets winners.
Yep.
So the controversy is basically like, you know, you're down 10. You have no chance to win. You can't get the ball back. Once you kick the field goal, time's going to be expired, right? So what are you doing? Just kneel it out and go home?
No way.
You kick a field goal.
Yep. I am on team kick this field goal.
I am too.
Now, if they're a 10-point dog, you probably throw a pass.
So let me ask this question then. Is this a non-story?
It is absolutely a non-story.
Non-story.
I agree.
You know what's...
NFL doesn't need to do anything. We can move
on. No.
Okay.
No.
Here's the thing. The sports books and this entire market we play in is like the ultimate sniffing out funny business, right? There's no funny business here. This is fine. He's supposed to try to cover the spread. That's his job.
Good. Yeah. I agree. You're saying there's metrics like in a contract related to the spread?
No. But he's supposed to outperform his expectation. Yep. That's his job.
So that's where I was going to add my 2 cents. Is his job is to score as many points as possible. His job is to win the game, but make the losses less of major losses, right? I mean, does 30-23 look better than 30-20
Here's the fun thing about his job. He gets an entire fluid, liquid marketplace to decide his expectations.
So let me ask this question. The line's 5.5. Does he kick it there?
If that would cover the spread?
No. It's a 10-point game. The line's 5.5. Would he have kicked it there? Do you think he kicked that because of the spread, or do you think he kicked it because he was trying to make the score look closer? If he was kicking it to try to make the score look closer, then he kicks it no matter the scenario.
Yeah.
If it's 5.5 or if it's 7. So do you think he kicks it if it's 5.5?
I don't.
You think it's because of the spread then that he kicked it?
I do.
Well then
nothing.
What do you think?
Well then that's important.
That is important if you think he kicked the ball because of the spread.
Right. So now what?
I'm not saying it changes anything. I'm just wondering, do you think his motivation was make this score look close as possible, or do you think his motivation was F Niners fans, I want to see these tickets cash for the Niners
fans? No, that's not the motivation. The motivation is I am basically a public figure. I'm basically a politician. And my entire what do they call that? Where you are a politician for, right? Sorry, I'm dragging.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So if you're a senator, you're in a jurisdiction or whatever that word is, right?
Your district.
Okay. Like basically his district is football betters, right? And his job is to exceed the expectations of these folks. Like, sure, the fans, right? The fans want him to win every game. That's not practical. He needs to exceed the expectations of the football betters in order to keep his job.
No.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's not crazy.
You went to the weirdest place.
Yeah, here. You did. No.
Think about a CEO of a company. What's the CEO's job?
That's a tinfoil hat.
What's the CEO's job? The CEO's job is to increase the stock price.
I don't think that any market is going to look at him and go, well, you know, the spread in 12 of your 16 games, you know, you covered it by a point, but you still went 3-14.
Oh, I think you're wrong.
He won a Super Bowl. That's enough on his resume.
Now we're getting off topic. We're going to come back.
Cut all that.
No, we're not cutting any of this. I think it's interesting what you're saying. I don't believe you. I think that in that scenario, if he was going to kick that down 10 with the spread at 7, he's going to kick that down 10 with the spread at 5.5.
Yeah,
I think it's more about him making it look less ugly than it is.
I hope it happens.
Percentage of games I can get my team over this key number.
Yes.
I hope it happens and we get to see.
We'll see. All right. That's enough talk about the NFL. We did plenty of that.
I got hot on that.
We got one more thing we want to cover here. That's a week in the life of a degenerate. Did you want to add something? I'm sorry. You were just saying something. Did I cut you off, Kurt?
I think he was commenting on me saying
You're a moron still, no matter what.
Exactly.
Let's talk about our weeks, because we are now 4 weeks into college football, 2 weeks into NFL, and I finally feel like I've figured out my system for college football.
Nice.
And I still don't know what I'm doing for NFL. So I asked each of you boys, and I did it myself, let's sit down on this calendar I put together and fill in what you think your week looks like. And it turns out it's quite degenerate.
Why is he looking at me?
As expected. Yeah, why is he looking at him?
I was looking at both of you.
Yeah, okay, good.
It's quite degenerate for all of us. Now, a quick little background, all right? So for those of you who are unaware, there's basically three ways we get down on action. One, we originate plays. Not so much RJ and I. This is really more Kurt's area of expertise. But originating plays is the first way we get down on action. Second, we chase others' plays. This is probably my single biggest way of gambling. I'm assuming that's probably the same it is for you, RJ. What do you think? Do you originate more or do you chase more, Kurt?
I'd say 50-50.
50-50.
50-50. Yep. Okay. And then the third part of this, and this has probably become the biggest part of it for me, that's the plus EV betting. I like to call it coupon clipping. That's where we're taking advantage of all the different promos on the various sites, as well as any inefficiencies that are out there in markets. So between these three methods, we kind of look at the week a little bit differently, depending on the day. So we wanted to walk through some of the different ways in which we do that, and some of the areas which we're the same, and some of the areas with which we're different. So let's walk through this. So first of all, we're going to have this out there. We're going to provide a link to it on the website. So anyone who wants to gamble with good juju, our calendar, our consensus calendar is going to be put out there. Check in on the types of stuff that we're consuming Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so on and so forth, as well as the different ways that we're taking part in gambling across those days.
It's almost like a little TV guide for degenerates. Yeah.
We're trying to put together a TV guide for degenerates.
We're going to have links on there for them to click on.
This is awesome.
Links for them to click on to access the different shows, as well as our recommendations on the types of ways that we're gambling each of the different days.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
This is neat.
So as we go along this, just want to talk about on the various days what our major activities are. So let's start off on a Monday. So this is the start of our gambling week. We've just finished up with our Saturday college football, our Sunday NFL. We still got the Monday night slate, but I know, RJ, you and I, we start off with a couple of shows and then also with reviewing kind of what's happening in the market for both college football and NFL wagers, correct?
Yeah, for sure.
Kurt, you don't get down as much on sides and totals within NFL or college football. So on Monday mornings, you don't really get into that as much, do you?
No, I'm strictly baseball.
So on my end of things, I've kind of gotten in the habit the last few weeks of checking in on the Bet the Books podcast that plays at 8 a.m. It's Brad Powers' release show, but also a conversation about the week that was. So I'll kind of check in on the lines while I'm listening to that, and then I'll get down on a couple action there. You're tuning into the Simple Handicap, right?
Yeah, for sure.
The Simple Handicap's really popular. That breaks down the slate of games. It doesn't offer wagers, correct?
You got to read between the lines. We're not kind of get into that, but he kind of gives hints as to where he thinks it's going.
The other thing that's popular on Monday morning is a numbers game on VSiN. I really like that. You said you watch it, RJ. I also watch it. That's where they do guessing the lines.
Guessing the lines is awesome, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the one that I try to catch in. The key takeaway from Monday for me is Monday morning's really about info gathering for the week ahead, as well as you kind of want to listen to those shows to kind of recap the day that was before, as well as start to get that information coming out on Mondays.
Yeah, and the interpretation on the upcoming week, right? So it's like you're trying to interpret what happened yesterday and how it's going to affect
right.
Monday through Saturday.
So Monday, I would say, is a pretty heavy day of gambling. For me personally, it's not a day of reward. It's a day of labor. I'm putting in a lot of work on Mondays.
Yeah.
I'm getting my action in, starting for the weekend. And so it's really more of a day of labor. And so we put together some recommendations for each of these days. If we were going to talk about Monday and what would be most important, I think that certainly is our theme. I would certainly recommend checking out Bet the Books for your college football start. RJ certainly recommends Simple Handicap for your NFL start. And then just kind of getting in those markets and getting settled for the week. You also have your Monday plays. As Kurt mentioned, he's checking in on a various number of sources to get his MLB plays out. And then we're also doing our regular. We're checking our promos. We're finalizing our cards. We're getting that in.
Getting my red zone boost bet in.
Right. So...
Shout out DraftKings, future sponsor of the show.
Thank you.
So then we move on to Tuesday. And Tuesday stinks during football season. You have no college football. You have no NFL. We're really just betting baseball at this point on Tuesdays. Tuesday's really about tacos. Taco Tuesday is the best promotion on Tuesdays. We try to always make sure and get our taco bets in. That's probably the only must bet activity that I have on Tuesdays right now.
It's basically the only thing I bet on Tuesdays.
Yeah. So this is another day. This is a pretty slow day. You can get at bat at 8 a.m. They do a release show for MLB on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. That's Derek Carty's group. That's highly recommended. If you have a chance on those days, make sure and check that out at 8 a.m. And then moving on to Wednesday, then. Wednesday's the worst day of the week, isn't it?
Morning.
Not for me.
Yeah.
It's just the same. Every day for you is the same.
Bet on every baseball game.
We went through this list with Kurt, and his card is, his schedule is boring.
Yeah.
It's very boring.
Every single day, wash, rinse, repeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point on Wednesday during the week, like, I'm definitely done betting on college football until there's promos.
This is my day that I take off.
Yeah.
I'll ignore things today. Here's what I do on Wednesdays. I try to get as much done as I can, because on Tuesday nights I record the podcast and on Thursday mornings I edit it.
Yeah.
So Wednesday I do everything else in my life. That's your laundry day, folks. Wednesday is your laundry day. Moving on to Thursday. Thursday's actually big. We work on our Survivor pick on Thursday, and we tend to lock that in. We generally have a pretty good idea going into Thursday, but you don't want to make any decisions too early in the week. You got Thursday night football coming in. We're working on our promos then. There's a few things that you do want to check in, though. We got another episode of Before You Bet. That's with Brad Powers at 11 a.m. We always make sure and tune into that. And then the Megapod releases. Can you talk a little bit about that, Juice?
Yeah, Megapod, Gil Alexander with Todd Wishnev from Showtime fame, of course, and Not That Will Hill. And then they have a guest, and they go through and do their best bets for the football, break down the whole slate. I try to consume like one bit of NFL content every day from someone different. So that's like you get the market interpretation, you'll see similarities or differences. And then also you're still consuming like the fluctuation at the macro level in the market too. Injury report, et cetera, right? Weather, that type of stuff.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. That is a good
idea. That way it's not boring and it's not like Adam Chernoff talking to me every day about how he likes Baltimore. It's like, I got it, man. He said that on Monday. But like if you get somebody new every day, it's like, oh yeah.
Different perspective,
same interpretation. This is getting interesting. I might be ready to put this in my pocket.
So when you end up doing that, do you end up building your bets based off of almost the osmosis of information throughout the course of the week?
Basically, yeah.
And then you end up, they're almost like your own decisions that you're coming to from a agglomeration of sources?
Yeah, it's like, you know, I'm certainly not like, you know, I'm not telling all of these bets because like, obviously, you know, sometimes they don't agree with each other. I'm also not waiting for like everybody to get their decision in. Like you can't do that, right? So it's up to your interpretation. That's how I kind of view it.
So that's kind of my theme from what we're doing Monday through Thursday in general. It's just a data accumulation set of days in the explosion that comes from there on. So starting Thursday night, we got Thursday night football. We'll have all those plays in. College football starts off on Thursdays. You still got baseball. Friday's actually a little bit slow.
It is.
So we hit Friday. There's no NFL. College football slate's bigger on Thursdays than it is on Fridays. And then you've got baseball. So Fridays is where we really attack that NFL player prop market.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
That's when all the player props are pretty much available.
Yeah, they get pretty fluid.
That's when you're focusing. This is also when I finalize my Saturday card. Mm. So for those of you who do the promo betting, you get a lot of promotions on Saturdays and Sundays.
Yeah.
So what I always find myself doing on Friday nights, because this is how cool I am, I sit on my couch and I go through all my Saturday promo offers for college football. And I get them in. And then if I'm so lame that I don't have Saturday night plans, I sit on my couch on Saturday nights and do the same thing for Sunday promos.
Mind of a degenerate, yeah.
So that's really Fridays where we're starting to kick off all that, getting those degenerate plays in,
yeah,
getting the offers to get me to bet now. And then Saturday and Sunday is when it all comes home for us.
Yeah.
So I always watch my bankroll on a daily basis. And I start off on Monday with a nice little healthy bankroll.
Yes.
And then it goes Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
It's kind of nerve-wracking, right?
And then we get to Saturday morning. And I'm like, oh, no, where's my money?
It's all gone.
It's all gone. Yeah. And then that's the fun of Saturday, Sunday. All that work we put in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, yeah, it just starts flowing back into the accounts. And you just sit there and cross your fingers. Come on, account. Be bigger on Monday than it was last Monday.
Big bucks, no whammies. Yeah.
So that's really what we go through. That's our flow. What we did was we sat down and we took our individual calendars we put together. We laid out what the best options were for each day in there. We're going to provide a link to this on goodjujubets.net. You can access it there. And if you have any questions, if you have any thoughts, if you have any additions.
Yeah, suggestions.
If you have any suggestions for us, this is just the stuff we've been coming across, putting out. I'd love to fill this calendar up with even more things to waste my time on.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone out there has a good show to watch, you know, on YouTube, a pick show, any information show for football, college, or NFL, please link it in one of our Twitter posts.
Yeah, hit us up. What are you watching?
We'll check it out, and maybe we'll add it to the calendar as well. All right, that's all for us, folks. Good juju to all your bets. We'll talk again next week.
Adios.
Adios.